Tina Turner. Today, Tina Turner is one of the top singers in the world. Millions of people buy her records and listen to her concerts. But Tina had to survive a broken home and a violent marriage on her way to life as a millionaire. Tina was born on November the 26th, 1939, in Tennessee, America. Her real name is Anna May Bullock. Her father, Richard, worked on a farm, and he and his wife, Zelma, lived in one of the farm buildings. The family wasn't rich, but it wasn't poor either. As a child, Tina was more like a boy than a girl. "I loved climbing," she says. "I climbed everything, and I went hunting with Daddy. Sometimes we brought back birds and rabbits." However, Tina doesn't have many happy childhood memories. Her parents argued all the time, and they often didn't want her with them. "From the start, I had to go out into the world and become strong," she says. Richard and Zelma's fights continued, and Tina and her older sister, Orlean, were caught in the middle. Sometimes Zelma packed her bags and left the house with the two girls. But Richard always found them and took them home. Then there were more fights. Despite this background, Tina already loved singing. Sometimes, when she went shopping with her mother, Tina sang songs for the ladies in the shops and they gave her money. "I had a big glass jar and filled it with those coins," Tina says. Tina also joined the church choir. "I didn't know I was singing about God and how good he is. I just liked the songs." One day in 1950, when Tina was 10, her mother left home alone. This time, Richard couldn't find her. Zelma went to live with her aunt in a big city, St. Louis. "I wanted her to come back," says Tina. "I waited and waited, but she didn't come. I looked for a letter from her every day, but there wasn't one. I cried and cried." Richard Bullock and his two daughters lived in a new house now, next to a cemetery. Tina was always afraid. "I thought I saw monsters walking through the windows," she says. This situation didn't continue for long, though. Tina's father had a new wife. When Tina was 13, her father also left home. He and his wife moved to Detroit and left Tina and her sister with a cousin. "I couldn't believe it," she says. "There I was, 13 years old, with no mother. And now my father was gone too." After Tina's father left, she didn't see her parents at all, and they didn't send her much money either. Tina had to find a job after school. She went to work for a young white family, the Hendersons. Tina helped them in the house and looked after the family's baby. For the first time, she was part of a loving, happy family. This lasted until Tina was 16. By then, her sister Orlean was with their mother in St. Louis. Tina decided to move there too. Orlean often went out in the evening to bars in St. Louis. One evening, she took Tina with her to the Club Manhattan to hear a band called the Kings of Rhythm. The leader of the band was a guitarist called Ike Turner. Tina loved the music and returned to hear the Kings of Rhythm again and again. Ike Turner often asked people in the audience to sing with the band, and Tina desperately wanted him to choose her. "I really wanted to get up and sing," she says. "I sat there every night trying to get his attention, but he avoided me." Then at last, her opportunity came. One of the other band members asked Tina's sister to sing, but she didn't want to. Tina quickly stood up, grabbed the microphone, and started singing. Everyone was shocked to hear a 16-year-old schoolgirl singing so well. Ike stopped playing and ran to Tina. "I didn't know you could really sing," he said. Then he asked her to be one of his regular singers. Tina had one problem, though. Her mother. Zelma didn't know about the singing at first. Then she heard about it and told her daughter, "No more singing. Don't even ask." One day, Ike went to Zelma's house and persuaded her to change her mind. "Don't worry," he told her. "I'll take care of your daughter. Nothing bad will happen." But soon after that, Tina got pregnant from another member of the band. When she was 18, soon after leaving school, she had a baby boy. The father left Tina to care for the baby on her own. Ike Turner was 26 at the time. He was married with two sons, but he liked having other women around him as well. Tina was one of them. He bought clothes and presents for her, and they worked together on their music. "I loved what he played," Tina says, "and I could sing his songs the way he heard them in his head." Ike's dream was to have a hit song, and his dream came true in 1960. Tina sang the song "A Fool in Love," and it went high in the charts. Until now, Tina was still called Anna Mae Bullock, but Ike decided he didn't like the name. He wanted something more glamorous, and he chose Tina. Then he changed the name of his band to Ike and Tina Turner. Ike and Tina were making a lot of money at this time from records, concerts, and television appearances. Ike controlled all the money himself. "Once I asked him for $5 and he said no," Tina says. Ike soon left his wife to live with Tina and they had a baby son. But Tina began to realize that Ike was not a real partner. He wanted to control everything and everybody, including her. Before long, Ike started to become violent and hit Tina when they were at home. Sometimes she had to put makeup over bruises and cuts before a concert. On stage, she smiled, laughed and sang with all her heart. At home, it was very different. "He hit me for no reason," Tina says. "I never knew when it was going to happen. I asked him, 'What did I do? What's wrong?' But he simply hit me again." Ike needed Tina to stay with him because he still wanted more hit records. One day, he asked Tina to marry him. Tina was frightened. She said yes because she didn't want Ike to hurt her. Tina married Ike in 1961. It wasn't a wedding with a beautiful white dress and a cake. It was in a dirty office in Tijuana, Mexico. "All I remember is that a man gave me a paper and told me to sign it. And I thought, this is my wedding." Ike and Tina gave concerts all over America for the next few years. They were on tour for 270 days a year. Then, in 1965, a famous record producer called Phil Spector heard them sing. He loved Tina's voice and wanted to make a record with her on her own. Ike agreed on one condition. His name must also appear on the record. It was called River Deep, Mountain High, and today it is one of Tina's most famous songs. But when it was released in America, it was a failure. Tina was very disappointed until news came from Britain that the song was number 3 in the British charts. George Harrison of the Beatles called it a perfect record from start to finish. The Rolling Stones were also fans of Ike and Tina's music. They decided to invite the Turners to tour Britain with them. Ike and Tina accepted the offer. Ike continued abusing Tina all this time. He was also seeing lots of other women. In America, Tina accepted it. She was too frightened to do anything. She also stayed with him because of her young children. But her popularity in Europe helped her to feel stronger. "England was the beginning of everything for me," she says. "The beginning of my escape from Ike Turner." In fact, Tina visited a fortune teller in London to discover her future. The fortune teller said to her, "You will be one of the biggest stars, and your partner will fall like a leaf from a tree." This was in the future, though. Back in America, Ike and Tina were making more and more money. On one tour, they earned $200,000 in 2 weeks, an enormous amount of money at that time. Apart from the money, though, nothing changed. Once, Tina found Ike with another woman, and she tried to hit the woman with a hammer. Another time, Tina left Ike and got on a bus for St. Louis, but Ike found the bus. He took Tina home and hit her with a coat hanger. On other occasions, he used shoes and telephones to hurt her. Tina remembers, "Before one concert, he hit me in the face and broke my jaw. I had to go on and sing anyway, with blood pouring from my mouth. I felt I couldn't take any more." One night in Los Angeles in 1968, Tina tried to kill herself. She bought a bottle of 50 Valium and took the entire bottle. When she woke up in hospital, Ike was there. "You are trying to ruin my life," he told her. Ike forced Tina to return to work immediately when she left hospital. Ike was only concerned about his obsession to have hit records. He paid thousands of dollars to build his own recording studio near their home in Los Angeles. Ike and Tina's 1971 song, "Proud Mary," got to number 4 in the American charts. 2 years later, "Nutbush City Limits," written by Tina herself, reached number 2 in Britain. But it wasn't enough for Ike. He spent more and more hours in his studio. Also, he was taking drugs and getting more violent. But Tina wasn't so frightened anymore. She didn't need to stay for the children. They were all teenagers now. Also, she became interested in Buddhism at this time, and that gave her more strength. She was prepared to leave Ike permanently and to try to survive on her own. In 1975, she left home many times. Every time, Ike found her, took her home, and hit her again. Tina tried to discuss the future with him. "I can't stay with you," she told him. "I don't want your money. Leave me alone." On July the 4th, 1976, Ike and Tina were going to start a new American tour. They were on their way to Los Angeles Airport in a limousine. Ike hit Tina in the car because they had an argument about a bar of chocolate. "Okay," Tina thought, "today I'm going to fight him." The Turners flew from Los Angeles to Dallas. In the car, on the way to the hotel, Ike hit Tina again. She reached the hotel with blood all over her face and clothes. In their bedroom, Ike was tired and fell asleep. Tina says, "I looked at him for a second and I thought, you hit me for the last time." Tina put a coat over her bloody clothes, picked up a pair of sunglasses and a small bag of cosmetics and left the hotel. She took with her a credit card and only 36 cents. "I was frightened," says Tina. But sometimes you have to let everything go. I had nothing but my freedom. Outside the hotel, Tina hid for a few minutes. Then she went into another hotel. I'm Tina Turner, she told the manager, and I've had a fight with my husband. Will you give me a room? Fortunately for Tina, the manager said yes. He gave me the best suite in the hotel, she says. I will always be grateful to him. For the next few weeks, Tina stayed with friends. She moved from place to place, hiding from Ike. She couldn't pay her friends, so she cleaned their houses for them. Eventually, Ike found her. But this time, Tina called the police, and they told Ike to leave. 2 days later, Ike sent the children to live with Tina at the house where she was staying. Then he tried to frighten her. One day, there were gunshots outside the house. Tina looked out and saw that the back window of her car was broken. There were also arguments over money and possessions. Eventually, after months of legal discussions, Tina told her lawyer to stop fighting. She got her divorce in 1978, but Ike kept almost everything. It wasn't fair, says Tina, but my life was more important than all the money. Tina was now 39, and she had to start her career again from the bottom. First, she found someone to look after the children. Then she started performing again in hotels and bars, and she made a solo album. But she needed some luck to help her return to the top. In 1979, Tina did a TV show with Olivia Newton-John, the star of the film Grease. Later, she met Olivia's manager, Roger Davis. Roger knew Tina Turner's music, but he didn't know she was still singing. Tina needed a manager, but Roger wanted to see a concert before he made a decision. He watched her at a hotel in San Francisco. The decision was easy. Roger says, Tina had so much energy. It was incredible. People in the audience were standing on the tables. Roger arranged tours for Tina in South Africa, Australia, and the Far East. Tina earned $150,000 in South Africa, but Roger knew she could do better. He wanted Tina to have a new style with younger musicians and a different sound. One day in the Far East, he told her, "You must change everything, the band, the dancers, everything." The new band formed in 1980, but there was still a problem. Record companies didn't know about Tina's solo career. They thought that her music was a part of the past. Roger knew what Tina needed, a concert where important people could see her. In 1981, he phoned the owner of a big New York club, the Ritz. "You don't have to give us any money," Roger told him, "but I've got to get Tina into New York." The owner agreed. Celebrities like Mick Jagger, Diana Ross, and the actor Robert De Niro were in the audience when Tina gave the concert. The audience loved her. Tina Turner was on her way to the top again. Magazines started writing about her. She sang on television with Rod Stewart. She toured again with the Rolling Stones. One night in 1983, David Bowie was in New York to promote his new album. He had a party for people from his record company. One of them asked him, "What are you doing tonight?" "I'm going to see my favourite female singer, Tina Turner," he said. Several people wanted to go with Bowie, and they liked what they heard. Soon, the company asked Tina to make a record. Tina was very popular in England, so Roger decided to record it there. They chose the song Let's Stay Together. When Tina walked into the studio and sang the song, I got shivers down my back. It was so good, says Roger. Let's Stay Together reached number 6 in the British charts. Tina was in London again the following year for a series of concerts. Then Roger got a call from America. The record company wanted a new album, fast. Tina hadn't got enough songs to make an album, so Roger had to find them. Thanks to his contacts in London, Roger succeeded. One friend wrote a song specially for Tina. What's Love Got to Do with It? Another song, Private Dancer, was provided by Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits. Knopfler wrote the song for a Dire Straits album, but didn't use it because he thought a woman should sing it instead. Tina released her new album, also called Private Dancer, in 1984. It was a smash hit, and it stayed in the top 100 for 2 years. Today, it has sold more than 10 million copies around the world. There was even better news for Tina a few weeks later. The single, What's Love Got to Do with It, was at number 2 in America on the day she went to sign copies of her album in a New York record shop. Later in the day, Roger walked in and told her, the single is number 1. After 25 years as a singer, this was Tina's first number 1. Roger says, Tina was in the middle of the shop and she started screaming, my record's number 1, my record's number 1. Everyone started cheering. It was wonderful. Tina won 3 Grammy Awards that year. She has been an international star since then. As well as her songs, Tina has been in films, including Mel Gibson's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Tina played a warrior queen in the film and also sang the hit song We Don't Need Another Hero. She also wrote her autobiography, I, Tina. It was made into the film What's Love Got to Do with It and earned $39 million. But Tina is still best known as a singer. She has done several world tours in the 80s and 90s. At one concert in Brazil in 1988, there were 182,000 people in the audience. In total, she has sold more than 50 million records. Now, at the age of nearly 60, Tina Turner is a grandmother. She's also a millionaire with homes in Switzerland and France. But more important, she has reconstructed her life and her career, and she is still a star more than 40 years after she first started singing.